Does anybody need to stretch? Are you guys ready? You ready? All right, turn to John chapter 19. Turn to John 19. I'm going to continue on with the message last week, so there's going to be some repetition. And I always feel like the Lord tells me that you need to have it repeated. It needs to, until it gets inside your heart. I know some of these themes I've thought about, prayed about, fasted about, looked at for years until they exploded inside of me, like, boom, I had an epiphany. I get it, Lord, I get it. I might have heard the same thing. So I'm going to come at this a different way, and I'm going to try and make some more ground in the book of Romans. And I got a destination I want to get us to, okay? But it's really important that we understand that the Christian life is a walk of faith. And I see so many folks struggling and about things happening to them and things going on. And they have a lot of questions. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And I want to teach you how to walk during those trying circumstances. I want to teach you how to live life by faith. And even a lot of times, some of us, we try so hard to be holy. And the harder we try, it seems like the less holy we are. Has anybody other than me ever had that experience? Like, the more you try, the worse you get, you know? And that's really a function of the law. We talked about that when your conscience is awakened. Let's say you give your life to Jesus, right? You get on fire for Jesus. So now you have a new situation in your life where you want to please God, right? But the problem is your mind's not renewed how to walk in the Spirit, how to walk in faith. So you go back to the old way, I'll just be better. Anybody ever tried to just be better, you know? So you try to be better, but after a while, it kind of burns you out and you just can't be better. And you wind up falling into what I call a Romans 7 situation, where the good that you want to do, you don't do, and the bad that you don't want to do, that's what you do. Well, God does not want us living in Romans 7. Someone say amen. Amen. He wants us in Romans 6 and jumping over to Romans 8. Amen. Living in victory by faith. Faith. Amen. I got a follower. We access God's grace through faith. Do you know that Jesus really will never do anything else for you? He's done. Did you know that? I'm going to show it to you. He's done. He's not going to do anything else for you in one way. I see you staring at me. I'm going to tell you why that's true. When you read John chapter 19, I'm going to start with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, everything's accomplished, there's nothing more to do, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, boy, I could preach on that, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, some translations say vinegar. They put it on hyssop, and they put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the vinegar, the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Someone say, it is finished. Now, Sonny sent me a really cool video, and I wanted to talk about it even a couple of weeks ago. And she talked about that Greek word, what it means to be finished. And there's actually three meanings to that word. I think the word is, please don't copy my pronunciation, but it's testestai, something like that, very similar to that. And it is finished. In business, the word testestai, it means the debt was paid in full. The debt was paid in full. How many think you owe God something, right? I know I have owned God so much. All my sins, all my burdens, all the things that I should have did and I didn't do, all the things I shouldn't have done that I did do, I had a debt that was too big to pay. And when Jesus died on the cross, when he said, it is finished, he said, your debt is paid. Isn't that beautiful? That's why we love Jesus so much. That's why we love Jesus. So if you knew, if we just understood how much we owe God, and that's why unforgiveness is so bad, because at least I know it's bad for me, because God has forgiven me for so many things things that I never want brought up again, things I never, I have things, and I want to know if I'm the only one. Does anybody have things in your life, and I may be the only one, me and Jackie probably, the only ones that you think about something you did in your past and you are embarrassed? Anybody, you can raise your hand. You don't have to. Yeah, Ashley, stand up and tell us what that is. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Ashley. I'm teasing. There are things that I thank God they're under the blood of Jesus, because if they came out on Judgment Day, I would be crying for a rock to cover me, a mountain. You guys said, I knew you were bad, Brad, but I didn't know you were that bad. I mean, just embarrassing things that I've done. Isn't it beautiful that my debt is paid and I never have to answer for that? Amen. Do you know you need to live in the light of that right now? Amen. Right now, you need to live in the light that your debt is paid. And you don't have to do anything because Jesus has already paid your debt. Amen. Amen. All you need to do is say, thank you, Jesus. I want to start teaching you how to do this in your life, right? Just start saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. That's why praise and worship is so important. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You took my debt. Even in the midst of trial, it's a powerful thing. But it is finished means more than just that your debt was paid. It's also a military term, and this is beautiful. And in a military term, it means the battle has been won. Isn't that beautiful? So not only is your debt paid, but you're at war, whether you realize it or not. You were at war with the devil, with the kingdom of darkness, with evil. You're at war. It was trying to cap. Sin was trying to have dominion over you. Sickness, disease, poverty, all these attacks of the devil are trying to have dominion over you. And Jesus knew that you couldn't defeat the devil. You couldn't defeat evil. He took care of it for you. The captain of our salvation, the captain of the armies of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself won the battle for you. Stop fighting. It's over. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. Someone say amen. We are in a faith battle. You're in a faith battle where you access God's grace and you live in it. I'm going to get into Romans here a little bit and talk about this a little bit. Not only is it a business debt, or you had a debt you couldn't pay, your sins paid, not only is it a military victory won, it's finished, the battle has been won. Colossians 2 says that Jesus took captivity captive, that he led the devil, he spoiled him, and he triumphed over him, and he led him in a procession of victory. In other words, like the old Roman emperors, they used to conquer nations, and they would come in, and they would have the animals and the riches. And I remember, like, Hannibal got conquered, and they had these elephants that have his soldiers, that have slaves, that have all the money, and they would come into Rome with Caesar at the head of the procession. They'd say, "Hail Caesar!" And the spoils of war were behind them in a victory procession. That's the language that Paul uses in Colossians 2, that Jesus spoiled the enemy, and he's in triumph. He triumphed over the enemy, and in a victory procession, he's marching. Your sins, your past, everything that's in your life that you need, Jesus has conquered darkness, and you are walking in his victory when you access God's grace by faith. He did it. Jesus did it. Do you see why we worship Jesus so much? Do you see why we praise him and worship him? I got this message growing in me, and it's growing in my life. Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. That's tonight. We're going to get that across to the kids. Jesus is everything. If I go there, I'll go there. So I got to finish this. Okay. It is finished is also a judicial, has a judicial meaning. It means that your sentence was fully served and you can go free. Let me say that again. Your sentence was fully served and you can go free. Someone say, I'm free. And Sonny, thank you for that little message there. So your debt is paid, the battle is won, and your sentence has been paid. Jesus paid the debt. You can go free. So with that in mind, turn over to Romans chapter 4. We're going to pick up right there where we left off. Last week, we started in Romans 3. We kind of marched around. We're going to be in Romans 4. And I'll tell you why I'm backing up here and getting into Romans. Because I've been exhorting folks to believe God for healing or for blessing or for strength, for power to be a witness, or whatever, your family, your children. And what I find out is people struggle so much believing God for things in their life because they themselves are walking in worry, or they're walking in guilt, or they're walking in shame, or they don't know that their sins are really forgiven. They have trials they don't really understand. They feel like they don't measure up and they come short. I'm talking about Christians. Anybody ever wrestle with condemnation? Man. So if we don't even know if God loves us or his blessings are for us or his victory is for us, how are we going to believe him for somebody else? Amen? Someone say amen. So I want to ground us, and this is what the Lord was showing me. I want to ground us in the good news of the gospel. And what is the good news? Your debt's paid. The battle's over. Jesus won. And he paid your sentence. He served time for you. It's done. You are now a free son of God. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You have full access and full privilege and full right to go before the throne. It is called the throne of? And when we go to the throne of grace, we obtain mercy. I have learned in my own limited experience, Charlie, the more that I try to go to God and I recommend myself to him, Lord, I've done this and I did that and I feel pretty good about it, he rejects it. It's almost like Cain's off. He rejects it. He says, Brad, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Come in his name. Brad, you're coming to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. I'm not impressed with what you're doing. Did you know, in fact, that everything that you do apart from the grace of God and the Spirit of God working in you is called a dead work? Did you know that? I talked to a lady Wednesday night, and she said she had pain in all her joints, and she was sick, and she believed in divine healing as I do. See my shirt? Cast them out, believe in God. Amen. So she said she believed in that, but she had pain in her joints. She had pain here and there. And she kept praying. She said, God, I know that by your stripes I'm healed. I know you paid for this for me. Why can't I receive my healing? And she had a vision, and she saw a pile of putrefaction, a bunch of rotting stuff stacked up on one side. And then the other side, there were some good things, beautiful things to the Lord, a sweet aroma. And in this vision, I don't know if it was a dream or just an open vision, she said, Lord, what is that? And he says, that's all your dead works. He said, that's all your dead work. You're trying to please me, trying to get me to accept you. He said, that stinks before me. And she said, Lord, I repent. I am so sorry. And she gave God her dead works, and she said when she came out of that and she prayed, she said all her pain was gone. I said, wow, that's incredible. Didn't Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we're not resting, what are we yoked up to? Right? He said, my yoke, and there is a yoke of Jesus. There is a yoke of Jesus. There is. We're yoked up to Jesus. But he said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. John said that the commandments of God are not grievous. Folks, I preached a month or two ago, it's a heart issue. When our hearts are lined up, when our hearts are tender before God, I have found things that I struggled to do, things that had a hold on me, just let go of them like that. When me and the Lord lined up, when you're spending time with Jesus and loving him and getting your heart right before God, it's like the easiest thing in the world to do, to talk to somebody about Jesus where maybe before it was a struggle. It's so easy. In fact, when your heart's really tender, sometimes you run into a problem. You want to give too much money. You just want to give to people. Your heart gets so tender, you just want to be flipping it everywhere because you're just full of God's love. And God, someone say, God's a giver. I'm serious. But when we're struggling and trying to obey the law and trying to, everything's hard, you know. Well, I'll tithe on my mint and my cumin, and I'll tithe on this and everything exacting, but your heart's not in it. Come on now. When we're full of the love of God, it flows out. God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. How many of you really, I got a scripture I'm going to, we're going to seal this up. How many of you really believe the gospel is good news? I always maintain that's why we don't share it more, because we don't really believe it's good news. How many think it's, I don't know, like if Ohio State got the number one quarterback and he signed up for Ohio State. Any Buckeye fans out there? Now, wouldn't you? I know I would. I'd be like, me and my son would call me, hey, Dad, did you hear that Kurt Cameron signed up? He's going to be quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Well, maybe not Kurt Cameron, but you know what I'm saying. Say, this guy, Art Sleaster Jr., he signed up for Ohio. Would be shit. Why? Because it's, how many of you, if God gave you $10,000 this week, wouldn't that be nice? Gave you $10,000 this week, you'd have trouble, like, I mean, in a blessing way. Wouldn't it be great? You'd share it with your friends, wouldn't you? And why would you? It's good news, right? When you do good, so I'm convinced that sometimes we don't understand the goodness of the good news. Battle's over. Your debt's paid. Jesus served your sentence. You're free. You're free. This is what Abraham found out in Romans 4. Let's go there. Got a little ways to go, and I got 20 minutes. I think I'm going to get there. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him or her who works, the wages are counted not as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Just as David described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And there's so much here I could go into, but if I preached it all, I won't be able to get it all. And so Paul says in verse 16 of chapter 4, therefore, it is of faith. Why? Why is it of faith? That it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those that are of the law, but also to those that are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We have access to God's grace by faith. Now, I told you last week, people, when you start teaching this, your faith gives you access to God's grace. People, they start spinning in their minds like, well, that means I can sin, or that means, and I'm like, no, you're a million miles away from it. When you start thinking that way, you're a million miles away from the gospel. And I want to go there and touch on that for a second too. No, by faith, we access God's grace where everything is finished. You've actually been born again in the Spirit. Christ in you is now your hope of glory. Everything you need, the fullness of God, has already been provided you to live a life of holiness and godliness, but now it is no longer by works. It is by the grace of God that works in you through your faith. Through your faith. And many, we start in faith, we begin to walk in faith, and then we start trying to please God. We get things all mixed up. The way that we start this journey, accessing God's grace through faith, is the way that we complete it. And I have said this 100 times in this church, when we really get it, when it really clicks in us, then when we really access the grace of God, it really, we do more by accident than we ever did on purpose. When we get full of the Holy Spirit and we hook up to this grace-giving God, when we really get to know Jesus, we'll do more by accident than we ever did on purpose. And then the burdens will lift when we understand that our debt truly is paid. Now, and I want to go here. So we're accessing God's grace. What happens, and I touched on this last week, but I got to go a little further. What happens is not only are we credited righteousness, but when we're born again, the Spirit of Jesus now lives inside of us, and as we trust God, the hope of glory is Jesus manifesting in you. I always say, Billy Joe, that it's Jesus in our jersey. Jesus starts, by faith, by God's grace, He starts manifesting in your life. I've had some of the greatest experiences in my life when I felt flat, I wasn't feeling anything, and I was just out and about doing my business, and all of a sudden just God's grace comes on me to do something, just to step out and do something, because He wants something done. I don't worry about it. I don't fret about it. Me and Mikey talk about this, going down on the East Main Street to share Jesus, and sometimes you don't feel a thing. You don't even know if you're saved. You know, you go out there, and man, before you know it, just by stepping into God's grace, it's just like the anointing or the power of God comes on you to do what God wants you to do by God's grace when you step into it by faith. So in Romans 5, you guys still with me? I'm jumping now. I want to show you something. Not only are you credited righteousness, it's finished, it's done, it's accomplished, the debt is paid, the battle is over, but in Romans 5:19, Paul says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous." Someone say, "I've been born again." I had someone say, "Well, no, we're not made righteous." I said, "Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you born again?" Who's born again in here? When you were born again, who came to live inside of you? You think He's unrighteous? Well, then you were made righteous, right? Argument's over. How could you argue? There's a new man inside of you. When the Word of God says, put on the new man, right? He's talking about taking that new man that's inside of you and wearing him. Renew your mind. The Word of God and who you are in Christ. Believe it. It's done. It's finished. It's accomplished. Put on the new man. Or sometimes you got to tell your body, no. Someone put your hand out. Better yet, put your wife's hand out, slap it and gently and say, no. No. Sometimes you got to tell your body, what we do to our body as believers is we say no to our body, we renew our mind, and we walk in the Spirit. And every single person in this room that's born again can do that by, because it's given to you by God's grace. You all have access to it. Now, last week I talked about a little bit in Romans 6 how we're not under law because we're under God's grace now. And that is the truth, folks. When you believe it, the power of it is released in your life. Okay, I'm going to go one step further. You guys with me here? So your debt's paid. The battle's won. You've been set free. You're born again. Christ lives in you. You are righteous now. When you are in a love relationship with God through Jesus, you're loving God. You're serving Him out of a heart of love. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your strength and all your might. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. When you're loving God and His grace and worshiping Him, there is a torrential flow of the Spirit of God that's coming into your life. Someone say amen. Someone say, I'm born again. Say not only that, look to the person next to you and say, not only that, I got the Holy Ghost. You can say Holy Spirit if you want to. So flip over to Romans 9 real quick. When we end here, I'm going to give you, just like I did last week. Anybody remember how I ended last week? has given some practical instructions. I'm going to do that again because I want to make it practical Monday morning when you wake up how to walk in this. I want to teach you how to walk in this by faith. In Romans 9, Paul is talking about this Gentile-Jewish relationship. I'm over in Corinthians. How did I get there, Lord? And he's talking about how the Jewish people tried to find righteousness under works or under law. And the Gentile people who were not even trying to be righteous, they stumbled into it. They fell into Jesus. They heard the good news about Jesus and they believed it. And because they believed it, they became righteous. He's talking about this and he's kind of culminating this argument. Listen to this. He says, "What shall we say then that the Gentiles," that's pagan people that don't know God, "who did not pursue righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of..." Do you believe in here? Do you believe the gospel in here? Are you gospel believers? Do you believe that you've been justified? Do you believe you can go into God's presence through the blood of Jesus and He accepts you? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe you can actually access His grace for any problem? Larry likes to say God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you believe you can go to the throne of grace for any situation, in any problem, and God has wisdom for it, and He has grace for you in that, and you can obtain His mercy? Yes. Then we should be bearing a lot of fruit. Amen? Yes. There should be a lot of fruit bearing in our lives when we believe that. Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame." Isn't that good news? You guys still with me? Yeah, okay. Who's still with me? I feel like about halfway. Okay, you're still okay. Now listen to this. The way we enter into this, guys, is the way we walk in it. That's what I'm trying to get at, and I want to nail this down to you. In Romans 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness," and what are they doing? "Seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." When we try to establish our own righteousness, we no longer are submitting to the righteousness of God. What am I talking about? When you try to establish works righteousness, do a little more, work a little harder, God will accept me. Clean up a little more. You ever heard someone say, "Well, I'll get saved when I'm ready, when I start living." You ever heard anybody say that? I'll get saved when I start living better. Well, it's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long, dry road because you're not getting better, okay? "They are ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who..." Do we believe the gospel? Do you believe your sins are forgiven? Do you believe Jesus lives in you? Do you believe you can go to God and have access? Do you believe that God will send the Holy Spirit and give you power? Do you believe that God will meet every need of yours when you trust Him? Do you believe that? That's the power of the gospel. Peter said in 2 Peter, remember that's when I quoted the scripture 100 times, he says everything we need for life and godliness is in Him. Jesus is the treasure in the field. He's the pearl of great price. He's the one, when a man found Jesus, when he found this treasure, when he found out that Jesus was everything, he took all his little pearls and he went out and sold them and he bought the one big pearl of great price. He's the guy that owned all kind of property and he knew there was treasure in a field, and he sold all his property, and he went and bought that property because the treasure was in that field. That's Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have everything. Amen. I got to go a little further here. My God shall supply all my needs through Jesus. Right? The Word of God says, He took our infirmities. Who's He? And carried our diseases. Who did it? He did it. You can't bear your own. He did it. In Romans 5, it says that Jesus is our peace before God. Jesus is your peace. You see how singular our walk is, how focused. Paul says, I put everything else aside. I'm laying everything else down. I count it all lost, but I am focusing on the prize. Who is the prize? Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have everything. Even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when you have a trial, you trust Jesus. When you have a need, you trust. When you have a relational issue, you trust. And those can be the hardest. When you don't feel good enough, you trust. When you feel guilty, you trust. Come on now. This is a message that'll set you free if you get a hold of it. We say, Larry, that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Don't we say that? Then there's only one thing is needful. Remember when that woman, was it Martha and Mary? They had that spat and they got in that controversy, and Martha was busy serving. And serving's good, by the way. We need to be serving. But Jesus said to Mary and Martha, when they had that little spat, he said, hey, only one thing is needful. One thing. Mary got it right, and I'm not going to take it from her. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at his feet, rightly relating to Jesus. She was drinking from Jesus. And I've said it 100 times, and this will be my 101st. When she got up, she could outserve Martha 10-1. A lover serves so much better than a slave. A slave just does the minimum to get by. I love Pammy. I don't do the minimum to please my wife because I love her. I don't do the minimum. Well, what's the minimum I can get away with? I love Pam. I want to please her. I want to make her happy because I love her. A lover will outserve a slave every single time. Just like a son that loves his father will outserve a hired hand. Because he's going to inherit it all anyway, because he loves his father. Jesus is trying to teach us this heart relationship. So let's go further in this Romans 10 then. He says, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things will live by them. That's in Leviticus 18:5. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, I'm going to go bring Christ down from heaven. Do not say, I'm going to bring Christ up from the dead. What does the righteousness of faith say? It says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith. The word of faith is not a bad word. You know that, right? Word of faith. There was a word of faith movement. People act like word of faith is not a bad word. Paul preached the word of, he sure didn't preach the word of works. The word of faith. He said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe where? In your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. And I'll even tell you why. Because with the heart, man believes, a person believes unto righteousness. Do you work unto righteousness, or do you believe unto righteousness? Do you see it? So when you're struggling, it's your believer. It's your believer that you need to activate. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Paul's referencing Deuteronomy chapter 33, I believe, there. I got one more scripture I'm going to go over, and I'm going to be done there. Folks, now this is where I wanted to lead up to, right here. And maybe I'll spring off of here. When's Mother's Day? So that's not next week. Okay, good. So I'll probably spring off of here. I want to talk about the heart-mouth connection a little bit. And the heart-mouth connection has got some bad press, you know, from some people don't understand it. But there is a heart-mouth connection. Paul is saying when you believe with your heart the word of faith, what the word of God says about Jesus, he actually says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. When you hear everything that Jesus has done for you and you believe it in your heart and don't leave it there, you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Now what that tells me is if I lack peace, if I lack in anything, right, I can believe in my heart that Jesus is my peace, and I can confess it with my mouth, and peace belongs to me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. If I'm lacking peace, I'm going to go, or feel like I'm lacking peace, I'm going to go in my prayer room. I'm going to snuggle up to Jesus. I am going to believe Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm going to tell the Lord Jesus, you are my peace. I am going to speak it out of this mouth. When the devil blows and huffs and puffs and wants to blow my house down, I have got to learn, and I am learning, to put my shoulders back and say the word of God. The word of Christ is true. Jesus is my peace. And even though the winds are blowing and the sea is tempest-tossed, I have peace in Christ. When I look at my bank account and I don't have two nickels to rub to my name, well, maybe I have one nickel. I'm going to throw it in the offering plate, and I'm going to tell the Lord, Lord, your word says you supply all my needs. That is the grace that you've given me, and I am trusting you to be my supplier. You are Jehovah Jireh. Someone say amen. Amen. When I get a hiccup in my giddy up, and some of you got them, I do this too. I'm going to say, Lord, I started feeling sick this week. Something in my belly felt that sicky feeling. And this is what I do. I began to declare, I said, Lord, by your stripes I am healed. And if I am healed, I was healed. I reject this. I'm not taking it. Someone say amen. And if I'm struggling with it, I'll go back into the Word. I'll say, Lord, show me, show me, show me. Open my eyes, open my heart to this inheritance you've given me. Okay. So how do we begin to walk in this? Folks, we have to have a love relationship with God, but we believe the gospel. That's the gateway in. We believe the gospel. We believe the good news that God is for us. He is not against us. That He is not our problem. We may have problems, people, devils, demons, height, depth, angels, principalities, powers, famine, heartbreak, but none of these things can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? Come on, I'm preaching better than you're amening. And I'm almost done. Amen? Amen. Amen. There we go. If you shout a little bit, I'll get good. I'll start preaching good. I promise. Hallelujah. Amen. I will. I get encouraged. What, you know, but you want me to end, so keep it down. Keep it down. I may get carried away. I may go till 10 after. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to show us how we have to start. Some of you that are struggling with where to start. Where do I start this thing? Well, it starts at the cross where Jesus said, it is finished. You got to believe that. You got to believe you're forgiven. You got to believe that God put His Spirit inside of you. If you don't have God's Spirit, then ask. Tell him, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, you're now my Lord. I'm changing kingdoms. I was in the devil's kingdom. I'm changing right now. I'm going out of the kingdom of darkness, and Lord, I choose to walk in your kingdom. I ran into a Satanist Wednesday. I was in my car, and this series of things happened. I jumped out. I started talking to this guy, and he wasn't very nice, really. But who expects him to be, right? He worships the devil. What do you think? He's going to be nice? But he told me he was Luciferian. And I'll tell you the truth, my heart went to the back seat to his son. I said, God, save his son. Save that man's son. Save his son. That's not fair that you'd have a dad that worships the devil. Is that fair? That's not fair. I said, save that boy, Lord. But I talked to him anyway, and he told me, he started talking to me about worshiping pagan deities again. I'm like, why would you worship Odin or some pagan deity when you could have Jesus? That's deception, is it not? I don't know how I got on that, but what I'm saying is Jesus is the best deal going. That's what I'm saying. And we put our faith in that. So let's go to Hebrews 4, and I'll stop there. I know I covered a lot, but that's why I keep repeating it. Maybe we'll get a little further next week. I want to talk about our authority and what we believe, believing and speaking, believing and speaking, believing and speaking. But I got to lay this foundation of the gospel. We're believing the word of God. We're believing the message about Christ. If you don't know a lot about it, then you ought to spend some time in the word learning about it. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go so I can finish. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering rest, let us fear. Talked about that a few weeks ago. There is a good fear. It's a reverential awe of God. It's a respect that He's our blesser. He's the one, only Him. I preached it already. Lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to them as well as unto us, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Someone read this for me. Not being mixed with faith. Faith. You got to believe it. For we who have believed do enter into His... Okay, I'm going to flip down to verse 10, save some time. For he who has entered His rest has himself also ceased from his own works as God did from His. Now, I've just gone back to the beginning of the message. What that means is it's finished. It's done. Your debt's paid. Jesus triumphed over the devil. Whatever you're facing, He already beat it. You've been to court and you were declared not guilty. You don't owe anything. You can walk free and you can walk in that freedom.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You want me to go longer? Should I go longer?
No.
Okay. Hey, you're an honest man, Mikey. And I appreciate that. I really do. So he who has entered, and there's so much more here, you just can't preach it all and say it all. He who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his own work. So here's how we start, guys. We start at rest. We start at rest, believing God. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you live in me. I have peace with God. I'm coming to the throne of grace. I got a trial. Your grace is enough. I'm receiving your grace. I dig in the word. Lord, your word says that Jesus supplies my needs. Right here it says it. Lord, I know I can't add to or take away. Now, I can't go there today. God will nudge you to do something, to walk in the Spirit. I can't go there today. Maybe that'll come soon enough. But that's where you start. You start at a place of rest where you believe that the work of Christ is enough. There are other things. Once we rest, we learn how to walk. And I can't go there today. We learn how to walk in the Spirit. We rest, we learn how to walk. Are you at rest today? Are you resting in Jesus? I always like to say this. You're at a race, the gospel race, and you got that guy with the gun. It's Marks, get set, rest! Like... I saw that it was a lazy man's race. It was a cartoon one time. It was a lazy man's race. All these people had their shorts and they were pretty much all overweight and they're standing there. It's called the lazy man's race. They said, Mark, get set, go, boom. It was over. They just like the race was over right away. The lazy man's race. Well, in the gospel, that's true because Jesus has already run your marathon and the battle's over. He's won. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to end it there. Holiness, the fruit, comes through believing. Living a holy life comes by connecting to the vine. You don't have any holiness of your own. It comes through Jesus. When you connect to Jesus and you're in a love relationship with Jesus, the sap that's in the vine of holiness or whatever God wants from you comes through Him. When you're looking at Him and your eyeballs are on Him, you will not sink. When you're looking at something else, you're going to start sinking. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that there's a deep understanding at Grace Point Church of what the gospel is. It's Jesus paid our debt, Jesus served our sentence, and Jesus conquered for us. Open our eyes and heart, Lord, to this reality, and Lord, encourage our faith to believe the good news that it's true. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.